It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
Let me come in.
Oh, come on in, Swag. Water's warming here, buddy.
You come on in.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm going to configure your widget.
I'm all alone over here. I feel like I'm in the corner watching right now.
It's breakfast time.
Swag's going to go configure Dirt's widget.
Oh, my Lord.
Dirt and Sprague.
He configured both our widgets.
Oh, buddy.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your weekends were great.
She can't stop it from coming.
We got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. Would you want to buy this if you had the money in order to do so? I got some replayable Big Ten games going on behind you on the old Big Ten Network. It's Big Ten Media Week, if you haven't heard yet. Got a sponsorship for that. We're going to hear from Dan Lanning to Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yeah.
Starts tomorrow. Dan Lanning on Wednesday.
We got guest stuff we're working on right now. One was going to join us today, but can't. Probably tomorrow, but I got to wait before we say who that was.
Yes. Efforting to get some college football bros on this week to preview the Big Ten.
You know, I understand age is a part of this question that I ask, but somebody did ask me, what is the reason you think Phil Knight didn't dive in at the auction for the Blazers?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Because he put in the initial bid. They said no. Obviously, they had hurt feelings there. But once it goes in, they don't have control. It's the highest bid.
No, is that true? I thought they still had control over who they pick.
Am I wrong on that?
Just whoever the highest bidder is. Even if it's a questionable character, they look past certain things. They don't vet the people.
I don't think Phil Knight's more questionable.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying from like a legal standpoint.
I was under the assumption, and maybe this is where I'm wrong, that whoever the highest bid is, that's who gets the team.
It's a great question, man. I wish we would have sold to him a couple of years ago, and they both sides would have handled that a little bit better instead of coming out with hit pieces in each way.
Mm-hmm.
And none of this stuff would be happening right now. But Jody wanted to make another $2 billion for the trust. It's not her money, and she can't spend, well, she probably can't spend some of it. And then had this entire ticking time bomb the entire time and sold the arena to the city for $1, knowing that all of this is looming, and then put the team up for sale.
Mm.
And so it's a good reminder of a lot of this stuff is Tom Dundon's fault. You know what's not his fault? The timeline of the lease expiring and this having to be like the political framework that we're in right now is not the fault of the new owner. This was all set up with the old owner putting this timeline in place because they refuse to reach an agreement with the city long term and to pass funding and to get all that stuff done. And they did a bridge lease instead.
Mm.
And here we are. But yeah, certainly would be nice to have Phil Knight owning the team. Also, to a Beaver fan point earlier in the show, I mentioned Oregon in their gray uniforms, and we spare no expense, but sometimes we're gray in big games. As a Beaver fan saying, they spare no expense, but somehow we still have a Nutria. Fair point. Now, I don't know if that's a OSU thing. My money would be on that being an OSU thing, not wanting to change it at this point.
Yeah.
But they certainly did not do you any services.
They're just going to die with that logo, I think.
I think that's the world that you live in, unfortunately. I do have a lot of college football stuff in the noogies for the final hour of the show. And we've got to pick our poison where we want to start with this. I'll start here. How big of a deal is this? Big deal? Little deal? No deal? Middle deal? What kind of deal do we make it? The Big Ten media days are about to begin tomorrow, and I saw this because one of the big storylines around Indiana last year was the average age of their roster.
25, right?
I mean, it was like older than the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
It was absolutely ridiculous. They had all these guys who had played 6-7 years. It was the COVID year,
mm-hmm.
James Madison years, right? They were a very experienced and old college football roster. Now, there's not a huge gap here. There's just a couple of notable things that I do want to point out. Do you care to guess, by an average age, the youngest four rosters in the Big Ten? I mean, that's asking you an impossible task, but I will allow you, give you one, get one guess from one of the teams in the bottom four.
Youngest Ohio State team.
Ohio State is the second youngest team in the conference. The average age, there are only two teams.
Isn't Oregon in this?
Oregon is right at...
They're right hovering, right?
So here's a tough part, too, because number one is Michigan State has the oldest roster in the Big Ten. It is 20.64 is the average age.
Fitzgerald looking to turn that around quick, huh?
Oregon's average age is 12th in the Big Ten. It's 20.18.
Hmm.
So it's not like we're talking about a huge difference
okay.
here. What is notable to me is the bottom two, or really three, if you want to go that far. Ohio State is 17th in the Big Ten. The average age of their roster is one of two below 20 years old. The other
is
two,
Michigan?
Michigan is right. They're right basically where Oregon is.
So they're not one of the four.
They're not one of the four.
Is it a notable playoff contending type team?
I would say the three others in the bottom four are all this. Yes.
USC.
USC is the youngest roster in the Big Ten at 19.87. Now, remember, they brought in like 40 kids in the recruiting class last year, so it's going to skew younger. But I thought that was an interesting note considering the pressure and the expectations going into year five that you have the youngest roster in the conference.
Is Penn State in this?
Penn State is not. They're in the top five. He brought in a lot of guys who followed him from Iowa State.
I'm trying to think who I'm missing out that I haven't guessed yet that's in this conversation.
The other two, that this is where I find it interesting because I think of the expectations or the thought about both of them this year. The youngest is USC, 19.87. Second youngest is Ohio State, 19.95. Third youngest team in the Big Ten is the Washington Huskies.
Oh, okay.
At just over 20 years old. And the fourth youngest team in the Big Ten this year, the Indiana Hoosiers. They go from the oldest to the fourth youngest. And so, again, it's not, I mean, you're talking Michigan State 20.64 to Indiana 20.11. It's not that big of a difference. It's just the point of they're in a much different spot from an age perspective. And then also you think about the year three expectations for Jed Fish at Washington and the year five expectations for Lincoln Riley. And they have the 16th and 18th oldest, or excuse me, youngest teams in the conference. And I don't know if that's a thing, if not a thing, but it's something that I found noteworthy at least to keep in mind as we follow the ensuing season.
Well, here's the thing about like being the youngest versus being the oldest. I mean, it's great to win the national championship and say, hey, your average age is 25. What was Indiana the year prior?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Right?
Probably
so, like,
older, but not
middle
that old.
Of the conference, middle bottom of the conference,
see
near
if I can
the
find
bottom.
That.
Like, I, you know, bringing in transfers who have experience on top of the guys you had returning, paired with the youngsters that were there, but they were still 10-2. Like, they had a great year. It was their first year to make the playoffs. Signetti had said, Google me, I win. He was right.
2024, the average age his first year there was somewhere in the 22.5 range.
Okay, so that's not young.
Not like, young.
You're still probably
and last
in the
year
upper
it
part.
Was upper, almost 24. Yeah, almost 24.
Okay, so.
And now you're down to 20.
But you're not going to be willing to bet against Ohio State.
No, you're not. And they're returning a quarterback. That's why it was unique. I was surprised to see Ohio State so far down there. I know they lost a ton of guys
in that draft.
I know, but it felt like they brought a lot of guys back offensively. I don't know enough about their offensive line to know
me,
that.
To me, the youth hits at the other programs, those aren't programs that I look at and go, well.
Now, let me ask you this. Deal or no deal at Washington and USC? Because they're certainly not in the same class as Ohio State.
I think at.
Because I'm totally with you on
Ohio
State. I think
at Washington, a deal. I think at USC, no.
Interesting. Okay.
Because I trust Lincoln with the quarterback relationship he has with Mayava.
Mayava should be a stud this year.
And I do think their defense took positive roads once they made the coordinator change, but now they're doing another coordinator change this season.
Right.
So I'm going to just kind of lean on ignorance of not knowing the full depth chart of USC, but I'm going to say no for one and yes for the other.
Okay. I just thought, because I'm with you completely on
Ohio State.
Mayava
didn't dance around with leaving USC, go to another program, then come back because of legal threat.
No, he did not.
Washington has, that's their returning quarterback.
Yeah.
So you pair that with all of the inexperience that you have going on.
Right.
You just have to kind of naturally assume, no shade meant to throw, but the reality is in that sport, Ohio State replaces their stud wide receiver
with a stud.
With a stud wide receiver. Their linebacker.
They're just younger.
Stud linebacker. Right. Like, it's just going to replenish.
Right.
Washington's the type of school that, like, you lose that receiver. I don't know if the next one's ready to be that level.
Yeah.
If Chris Henry comes out and has a Malachi Toney-like season.
Jeremiah Smith, who did it as a freshman, as a number one guy. He was a stud for them.
Nobody's going to bat an eye.
No.
We're going to go, it's Ohio State. Right, they're wide receiver. You, Washington, I think it's going to be a little more of a surprise if they get the production just naturally filled in with the talent that's coming in. That's pretty inexperienced and or young. Hmm.
On that note, we did have with the start of Big Ten Media Days, we have the official, the definitive Cleveland.com preseason.
The Cleveland.com one is a good one because you actually are getting good feedback from the media members on that. That's not just Cleveland.com random writer.
No.
I'm giving you my power rankings.
Here's
right?
my columnist. Yeah, this isn't a dirty poll. No offense to the dirty poll. I love it, but this is a little more source than the dirty poll is. It's not one guy's thought.
What is our date for the release of the top 10 dirty poll?
That's a great question. Probably next week.
Okay, so before you're out.
Before I'm out.
Because you're out and then I'm out.
Yes.
And then we're here.
Then we're,
football season,
baby. It's go time. Until the kid comes around. you know, that whole thing that's looming. Got one in the oven, baby. It's still cooking. Have you seen the Cleveland.com preseason Big Ten media poll?
I'm not.
Give me your guess top four. Where do we go? Who do they got winning the conference?
Ohio State.
Yes, you are correct. Who's second?
Oregon.
You are correct. Who's third?
Indiana. USC.
Correct. Oh, look at you. You nailed it. That's your top four. Would that be your top four as a voter?
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
I got no beef with that.
I mean, if you want to take Oregon over Ohio State on paper because of returning talent versus what we just mentioned, the young.
Right.
You can do that. But again, as I said, the talent's just so damn deep and plenty at Ohio State. I'm not really as concerned about that. So, yeah, I'd probably go in that order.
Yeah, the Cleveland.com Big Ten Media poll is officially out as the start of Big Ten Media Days. Ohio State did come in number one, Oregon 2, Indiana 3, USC 4. Then it goes Michigan 5, Penn State 6.
Yeah, I'm going
to... Oh, calling a TO? Well, need a 20 here? Need a 20?
The 5 and the 6 are obvious. I feel like that's the universal 6. So, like, who's the team that's going to sneak up?
Washington 7. We just talked about them. Mm-hmm. Iowa 8. I feel like there's, I mean, that, I feel like Iowa's always in the top six of the comp
they're
every
always
year.
Find
like,
a way in, yeah.
They're going to beat somebody. They're going to pull off an upset.
Punch,
they're going to be a meat grinder
yes.
and not turn the ball. Like,
they're going to, you're going to play them at the worst possible
time. Mark
time.
My words. Here's a, you want a hot take on July 27th?
I don't think it's going to be a hot take if you tell me Iowa's better than where they're being picked.
They will finish in the top six of the conference.
That's not a hot take.
Okay. Iowa 8, Illinois 9.
Yeah, they're kind of flying under this year. They had
new
a disappointing season last year. And
they did.
God, Indiana bludgeoned
I think
them.
Everybody just kind of quit Illinois after that game. When you look like an FCS team, it was similar to the Oklahoma State game. Where you're like, you see Oklahoma State and it's 60. You're like, nope, that's, nope, I'm out. That's
Altmaier,
all no. See you later.
Click. See, I'm out of that game. But like, what is Michigan State? Because they got a coach that a lot of people believe in.
They're the oldest roster in the Big Ten.
So
they are picked 16th in the Big Ten.
That's disrespectful, is it not?
Is it? The only teams worse than them are Rutgers and Purdue. You had Minnesota 10, row the boat, Nebraska 11, Wisconsin 12, UCLA 13, Northwestern 14, Maryland 15, and then Michigan State, Rutgers, and Purdue. That is your preseason media poll, according
to Cleveland.com. Pat Fitzgerald was a very talked about, great hire.
Controversially fired at Northwestern, and I believe in time
he was
proven
vindicated.
Yes.
But they pivoted out of Jonathan. It was a terrible mix.
Yeah.
People called that from the start, and it aged that way. 110 and 101 over 17 seasons at Northwestern.
It's Northwestern. So you always, it's a bit of the Matt Campbell thing of like, yeah, but how many wins? It's like, well, you're coaching at Iowa State.
He also chose to stay at Northwestern.
He did. I think he was an alum. Didn't he play at Northwestern?
Okay.
I thought that was his alma mater.
You know, it's fine, but you made the decision. You didn't give yourself, like, say what you want about Mike Riley. Mike Riley even got to a point at OSU and he loved OSU and still does. He lives there.
Yes.
He was like, I got to try something once. We always thought it was going to be USC. It was Nebraska.
Roll the dice on a big job. See how you do.
Yeah. So, like, I don't fault guys for staying. I also look at guys and go, I don't know how to conclude how to feel about you truly because you chose to never leave here.
Right.
I'll give you the one take. And there's two coaches I'm in on. One gets his feet done every 2 weeks. And by the way, people chiming in, they're all in on it.
The poll question? Pro John Summerall?
All in on
bi-weekly
it.
Pedicure, as one listener said?
Oh, yeah. People are in.
Okay.
The other one I'll give you is I think UCLA is in the top seven of the conference.
UCLA picked 13th in the Big Ten. You think they're in the top seven?
I'm higher.
So you're a big Bob Chesney guy. You agree with Bill Plaschke down in L.A.?
People can get to that on a different day. But yeah, I saw that article and I was like, yep. It's just so loud about how different it is with him already.
That's my only concern is it? It's now to the point where I'm wondering, is it too loud? Much attention?
Maybe,
you know?
But like, think about how truly awful a situation has to be for anybody to even hear anything about UCLA football, which tells me what I need to know about that dude.
The only thing that is notable that has happened at UCLA in recent years is Chip Kelly quitting to go be an offensive coordinator, them getting Nico Iamaliava in the transfer portal, and then the upset of Penn State last year was a pretty big shocker. That of the last 10 years of UCLA football notes, that's really the only thing that stands out to me.
Well... Yeah.
Because Chip leaving to go be an OC was like, oh my God.
Nico's still there, right?
He is still there.
Which,
yes, he is.
You know, if you're a Chesney and you're coming in looking to kind of change your fortune at a program that's just circling the drain.
Yes.
Five-star dude who proved he could be a playoff worthy quarterback for a team.
He had Tennessee in the playoff as a redshirt freshman.
And that Penn State game, I don't remember what his numbers exactly were, but he had a few throws in that game. We were like, okay, dude.
He had last year 13 touchdowns and 7 interceptions.
Yeah, not amazing.
Not great. The Penn State game, he had 2 tuds, no picks. Ran it. He had 128 rushing yards and 3 tuds in that game. He killed him with, like, he had 500 yards on the ground. That's really good for a quarterback. The numbers weren't great for him. He had some clunker performances. Like Indiana, they just got smoked when they went on the road to Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
But in other games, like, he had solid performances. I'm with the UCLA buzz is certainly brewing going into Big Ten Media Day. It'd be something to keep an eye on as Chesney's availability comes up, because they are becoming a very trendy pick the way they're recruiting. A lot of good positive PR for them in the last couple of weeks. So seems like things are heading in the right direction for them. Sticking in college football as I kind of empty out my weekend notebook from the college football world, I thought this one was interesting. We had a friend on the show on from the Next Round Live, and they put out some good graphics in terms of college football. It's a good follow on Twitter for that reason.
It's a good show. It's a fun
it's
show.
It's a good show.
Lance
it's a fun
great.
Show. He was awesome. I enjoy their content, and sometimes they give great talking points like this. Since the college football playoff era, so starting in 2014 to now, these are the teams with the most wins in that era without making a college football playoff appearance.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, of the top 5, 2 of them are unlikely, although they could get in as G6 teams. But of the other 3, who would we gamble on to make a playoff first? Might be an easy answer. Memphis is the leader in the clubhouse. They have 107 wins since the CFP era without a playoff appearance. And they might be at the G6 rep this year. Appalachian State, 105. Again, could be a G6 rep. We'll wait and see on that. Doubtful from their conference, but you never know. And then it goes Iowa 105, Utah 102, BYU 101. And those all seem like, I don't know
don't
about
you
Iowa.
Have to gamble BYU and Utah of the group?
Right? You would tend to think so.
Although, I can't pretend to know the conferences of the G6, like, in and out. Memphis seems to be a team that flirts with this
all the time. They're in the mix every year.
In the mix.
Yeah, I think, isn't Appalachian State in the Sun Belt? Like, I'd be shocked.
I watched App State last year. I'll give you a take. Oregon State's play calling blew at the goal line. I was so unimpressed with App State, and somehow they won the football game.
I think you're basically looking at the American Conference of the Pac-12 being the most likely rep for the G6 every year.
But because of Texas Tech, even though they have a stranglehold in talent, from a depth standpoint, BYU's been good, dude.
They've been close to 10-2.
Maybe Morgan Scalley's it. I don't know how confident. Maybe I go Memphis BYU.
I think Utah was 10-2 last year, too, were they not?
Yeah, Utah was 10-2. Their quarterback is coming back again, and so maybe it's going to be an easy turnover from Whittingham to Scalley, but I'm definitely going BYU, number one of all of those teams. They're close.
They're right there knocking on the door.
And if Bachmeyer takes a positive step this year, which is still going to be odd if he's wearing number 47 again.
Still wearing 47. He was at Big 12 Media Days.
If he has growth, maybe that's a team we should be giving more consideration to win the conference and not just assume it's going to be Texas Tech, who, by the way, is coming in with what? Quarterback questions.
Yes.
And they're loaded, but I don't know if Hammond's ready to lead the charge, or if what happens if he doesn't play well and they got to make a switch. Like, it's a weird thing sitting there for Joey McGuire, and all the expectations are on them to win it. Even though I think the media poll picked BYU, realistically, I think that was a bit of a troll job of Texas Tech. Most people following college football think it's going
to
be Texas Tech.
Yes, they do. They did name Hammond their starting quarterback, but to your point, he's never been a full-time starter, so it's a little bit different. On the Iowa note, too, and this is tough for me to say because, God, are they boring to watch, but you kind of respect the brand after a while.
Yep.
If you look at them from last year, I obviously vividly remember the Oregon game because Oregon found a way to win that one at the last second. You think about their 4 losses. Iowa was 8-4 last year. You know what their losses were? At Iowa State, I think they hit a 50-yard field goal to win it, 16-13 final. They lost. Remember, they were the toughest against Indiana in the regular season. They damn near beat Indiana at home.
That was a dogfight.
20-15 final. Indiana needed a touchdown with like 3 minutes to go to take the lead and win 20-15.
Yep.
The Oregon game, you have the Dante Moore and Malik Benson throw with 20 seconds to go to put him in field goal range.
Automaticus.
One of the best throws of the year. Thank you to the Beaver kicker. And then remember, they went and played USC in the downpour, and they dominated the first half. And then USC and Mekhi Lemon made some big plays, and they lost 26-21. And so Iowa is a program that none of us—
But the problem
respect
with
at that level, yeah. But it's like, it's just funny to think back of like, dude, all four of their losses last year, they easily could have won all four of those games. And so, I know woulda, coulda, shoulda, ifs and buts, candy and I get it. It's just funny to think, I wouldn't say Iowa has a shot, and they were a USC win away from having a legitimate conversation last year at the end of the year.
You're not wrong, but also I feel like we could point that out about Iowa.
Every year.
Every year. You could go and go, you see their four losses? Look how close this one, and that one is.
You're not wrong.
They just need to get back. I mean, they've made it, correct? Didn't they have the 1 year they made the four team?
Iowa is not, no.
What was the year that they had a really good season? It was like a 10-2 type year.
They've had a handful of those.
That was not that
I know
long
they have
ago.
Not been, because they're in this stat. They've never been to the, they have not been to the playoff. But Michigan State randomly was one of the one that made
maybe,
it and got
maybe
killed.
Thinking
Alabama smoked them.
The Michigan State season, they played a tough one. But they almost always have that on their schedule.
They're in the mix, and
it's
lose a couple of
three or
close
four
games.
Loss season, and you go, look how close that one is and that one. And that's the problem with depth. They don't have the talent depth-wise.
Right.
To, like, they should have finished Oregon.
They should. I mean,
they should have won that game. Oregon did not play particularly well. The weather was in their favor. They got the late score, and Dante, to his credit, put him in field goal position, and Automaticus was automatic. I just have a hard time ever seeing them be the 10-2, and I don't think an Iowa 9-3 is ever going to be in consideration.
Yeah, you would need the strength of schedule. To your point, 2021 was the last time they won 10 games. They did go 10-2 in the regular season, and they lost. That was when the Big Ten still had division, so they went to the Big Ten title game and lost.
Maybe that's the year.
And
I'm
then they lost
the
Citrus Bowl to finish 10-4, but they were technically 10-2. And if they would have won the Big Ten title game, they would have been in the college football playoff. So Big Ten Media Days kick off officially tomorrow. One last note: Alabama in the SEC was picked to finish sixth. In their preseason media poll, that is the lowest that Alabama has been picked in a preseason media poll since 2008. Woo, buddy. Kalen DeBoer.
Boy, DeBoer is sitting on a real roller coaster ride this year.
You're going to get fired.
Let's get to one other note in the college football world, including do we think it can actually work this time? And then would you want to buy this? Because it's only going to cost you about $10 million. That's next, 105.1 FM The Fan. Have you ever loved an athlete enough to make you run out? None
what?
Left? None left in your body? Andrew Jones and his 10 straight gold gloves didn't do it for Young Sprague. He leading the league in homers.
50 dingers in 05.
Right? You're telling me that didn't do it for you back in the day? Doing the tomahawk chop in your bedroom?
Jerry Rice catching a ball in the middle in Dallas for a long touchdown against Deion Sanders.
I'm just asking the question.
My nephew is a huge Shaedon Sharpe and Ja Morant fan.
Oh, he's psyched
so
right
like
now. He's out.
He's in his own
it's
world.
It's gone.
And yesterday he was in the car because he's staying at my house. And I was like, dude, can you imagine when Ja throws a lob to Shaedon? He goes, And I was like, yeah, you're going to be feeling like weird, you. Aren't you? And he's like, he just started laughing. He couldn't
stop
even respond.
It from coming.
He couldn't even give me anything. Start awkwardly laughing.
Over! Way over!
Oh, it's fantastic. Do we think this time it will work? What do we make of the latest attempt for college football players to unionize? Because it began today.
Oh, God.
Here we go again. We're not going to get the bill passed in D.C., it sounds like, although they're still debating it and changing some of the language. But their recess is coming up. The likelihood of it passing or it seems very slim at this point. And we've all known in order to put the genie back in the bottle, you either need federal legislation or you need to collectively bargain. And Stanford football players have established the first chapter of the College Football Players Association in a move intended to create the foundation for unionization and collective bargaining. It was Northwestern, right, that did this last time? A couple of years ago. Now, that was before the whole everything got super out of control in terms of spending an NIL, if I remember correctly. That seems like it was about a decade ago. But I remember that effort falling flat. Prototypical, the smarty poos at Stanford to try and do this. Did we make anything of it, or is this much ado about nothing as usual with unionization?
So, two things. One, I am super stoked for the Reagan documentary on Netflix. I really want to know the backstory of that breakdancer.
Is she in it? She's got to be
in
it,
they're doing an entire one on her.
I know, but is she like,
style.
She has to appear in it, right? Because we had a Jailblazer doc and there was nobody in the damn thing.
I hope she is.
Okay.
Two, Cal Raleigh produced the 10th season of at least 60 homers last year with a 948 OPS. He has 10 homers and a 569 OPS. The fewest homers immediately following a 60-homer season
is, he gonna set the record?
Is Mark McGwire's 32 in 2000. The lowest OPS following a 60-homer season is 840 by Maris in 62.
Big fall off.
I mean, it's a canyon of a fall off.
So that's your take on Stanford unionization?
That means he's due in August, right?
Dude, I mean, come on, there's no take. I mean, what, this is not going to happen.
Not going to happen?
Did you see there's a 30 for 30 on Shohei's interpreter about
I just listened to a clip on Instagram about the Bank of America record
Dude, he's definitely guilty, by the way. Shohei,
yeah, he's in prison.
No, Shohei.
No, yeah, he's innocent. Innocent until proven guilty in the court of law, Andrew.
Did you listen to the audio?
I'll watch the 30.
He didn't know? How would he know? It was only his money.
It's just signing off on wire transfers.
With his closest
$500,000 leaving your bank account multiple times. You're paying him off.
Lost in translation.
Yeah, okay. Let me ask you, if you were worth $500 million.
They both speak Japanese.
Well, he was translating.
He was translating to the American media.
Yeah, he wasn't going yen.
Although he might have been translating to the bookies as well. You never know.
If you were worth $500 million,
mm-hmm.
maybe more, but you're overall worth $500 million, what's the amount of money I call you to borrow, assuming you am in such good faith that you help fund my life, that you go, what? What are you doing that? Like, what's the amount?
If you asked for $500,000, that would absolutely be the amount.
Hmm.
That's a lot of money.
Sprague, what's going on?
What do you need $500,000 for?
Everything okay?
How many times have you asked for it, too?
My backyard.
I mean, if it's a one-time thing, and like that's the only time you've ever done it, maybe. But if you do it multiple times, by the second time in a short amount of time, yeah, there's eyebrows up immediately.
It's an obvious, underrated all-time story that didn't end the way we thought it would.
No, but it also is a very obvious, it behooves the powers that be to have that story turn out the
but
way that it did.
But didn't they actually, I mean, I feel like when it was going on, we actually, they went through the records and could not prove in any way.
What did Chris Carter tell us years ago?
I always have a fall guy. Told the rookies that, actually.
Who spent months in prison for Barry Bonds?
Greg Anderson?
His trainer, who shot him up with steroids.
Yeah, I think he's never spoke. R.I.P., by the way.
Did he die?
I don't know. I feel like I saw a thing about
Is
he
it
died.
A barbed wire tattoo that he had. Like, you got to have a fall guy. They know what they're doing.
Who's
here?
Cal Raleigh's fall guy here? The World Baseball Classic? I just, how do you explain the all-time? This is the all-time drop.
It's
what
crazy,
you are witnessing
dude.
Right now is literally the all-time drop of an all-time great season by a player.
Absolutely crazy. Never in a million. I would have been willing to bet my life savings that there would have been a fall off.
Not to this level.
Maybe 35 home runs.
We
you know,
joked about it before the year. Like, what do they do if he only has 35 homers?
Right.
And it's like, is he going to get 20?
He might not.
I'm trying to see this. So when he had the grand salami, okay, where was it? Okay, he had
that
grand
was
salami
his 10th
on 720.
Home run.
Okay, that was his 10th home run. Since then, he has had 4 hits. In 6 games, he's batting .165.
.165.
How long was
he? And he has one ribby.
How long was he on the injured list for?
Yeah, he
when
missed
he went
some
out
time.
With the oblique.
Yeah, the oblique injury. He missed some time in the middle of the year.
So this says he played.
If you look at the game log, you'll see like a gap from game to game when he was.
So
he played
April
in March
to May, and then May to June. I'm not finding it. I mean, I know he had the gap. I know, but I'm not seeing the dates. That's like
how many games has he played on this season? Because we can play that fun game too. What's the games he's appeared in? Because the Mariners have played just about 100 games, right? What are we at? 100 and
just over like 105 just or something.
Yeah, they're 52-54, so we're at 106 on the season for the Mariners.
He has played in 74.
Okay, so he missed about 30 games on the year.
Yeah.
And that's a big chunk to miss, but it still does not excuse how bad. Like,
what was his ribby total last year with the 60 dingers?
Oh, God, 100. What did he have last season? He had 125.
Dude, he's sitting at 10 homers and 35 RBIs.
He, in 74 games, he has 17 extra base hits. He has 10 home runs and 7 doubles, 0 triples. He has 17 extra base hits.
How do you square
in
this?
74 games. It's insane.
I mean, we noted last year how kind of insane it all was.
I mean, he
like,
was good for the 2 years before
30,
that.
He went 30. He went 27, 60. 30, 34, 60, 60
to 10.
In any other era, that is
dude, if he does this in 2003, we are all accusing him of the same thing. It's a different era of baseball.
I had a catcher on my all-time favorite baseball team who basically had a 27, a 30, a 28, and then randomly one year,
led the bigs.
Javi Lopez in the 50-homer category. I was like, what? Javi Lopez?
The hell did that come from?
I don't know what you do it's here wild, if you're dude. A Mariner fan. Your team is still going to potentially win the division because it's so damn bad. But
yeah.
Dude, I think outside of producing in the playoffs, this is going to be one of the biggest, craziest seasons as a Mariner, observing another player playing.
If this continues and you miss the playoffs, it's brutal, because he was supposed to be, from last year, I mean, he's an legitimate, bona fide MVP candidate.
You ditched some would argue Julio because of his slow starts for this guy.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, ditched, but like you were like, he's actually the face
He
now.
Became the face of the franchise. And that's, yeah, if you miss the playoffs, you finish below 500, and he hits .170 on the year. Mm-hmm. You're all of a sudden in a really weird spot about where his career goes from here. And maybe it's the oblique injury. Maybe it was the World Baseball Classic, and we need to be, like, I don't know what it was and how he got here, mm-hmm. because it's one thing to go back to what you were 3 years ago or 2 years ago, hitting 30 home runs, .232. Like, okay, like that wouldn't surprise me in the least. That's kind of what I would have predicted for the year, and maybe he ends up there at the end of the season. But if it continues at this pace, you hit below 200, dude. Like, I don't want you in the big leagues anymore. If you're hitting below 200 in order to stay in the lineup every day, you better hit 50
What's
home runs.
What's he batting right now? What's he putting?
.165 in the lineup?
In the lineup. Is he like seventh?
It's a gaping hole wherever you put him, because he ain't getting hits.
Because with that power, you don't want to overlook the idea of turning it around.
Right.
But like,
right.
.165 is, I mean, my guy Austin Riley was going through this a long time, and he's had a couple good games here lately, but like, he's a $200 million player that just after he signed that deal has not been remotely the same. And maybe there's still hope for him, but
maybe
like,
it's the contract. Yeah, I don't know. It changes your mental approach.
He batted sixth yesterday.
Sixth in the lineup. Yeah. Hitting .165.
For your MVP, he's batting sixth? Mm. Is that like a new analytic that tells me that's...
Yes, that's the new stat. If you're hitting sixth as a former MVP, that tells you you're heading in the wrong direction. If I gave you $10 million, would you want to buy this?
I know a lot of become owners of this NBA team coming in 2029. I have told people, why? Buy the college basketball team. It's legal now. You can be the UNLV Running Rebels men's basketball team, and it's a lot less expensive. You don't have to spend over $1 billion to own our team. I'm asking for 10 to 12 million to own our team, and you still get a great tax write-off, and you can be as involved, and you can tell everyone you're the owner of the team.
That is Josh Pastor. He's the head coach at UNLV, saying, you want to be the owner of the team? You be the owner of the team? The team took this another step further. Their Running Rebels account sent out a graphic that said, things you can buy for $10 million, a Bugatti chrome profile car, some sort of Phenom, it looks like private jet. There's a picture of this house in Vegas, and it's a massive house for $10 million.
Well, now you're talking.
Four Richard Mille Nadals. It's a watch, I guess. Stay at the Mission Room at the Biblos for a year. Jane Birkin's Birkin bag.
At the Biblos?
I don't know what the hell that is. It must be a Vegas thing. Or the UNLV basketball team. $10 million. Do we like the effort to try and sell his own team?
I mean, he's not wrong to point out, like, if you're a super rich guy that wants some notoriety, buy a basketball team. If it's nothing to you, I'd rather have a mansion.
Yeah, probably right. Yeah, depends on the team I'm buying. If I could buy a bigger program, well, not that UNLV, historically speaking, certainly good. But
what would you get out of it?
You own the team?
Are you on national television? Are you talked about?
Right. What are
they
going to
be
with it?
Good? What perks? Talk about a fall. Josh Pastner.
Well,
like,
if I buy $10 million buying the team, I would hope you'd be good. What would the perks that I could throw in that would make you want to think about it if you had the money?
The perks?
Yeah. Is there anything? Because if you have money like that, you already have perks in life.
I'm in on the meetings.
Things are good. You want to be
commenting.
Team meetings?
I'm not commenting.
Room?
I'm not saying you're wrong.
You want the Phil Knight headset in the press box?
Yeah.
You're going to run the ball. Don't run the ball right now. Throw the ball. Throw the ball. That's not an onside kick, Oklahoma.
Get Yak Yak back in there right now.
How much would it cost to buy the Pilots basketball team?
Quarter of that.
Quarter?
Tenth
a
of that.
A quarter of that.
Would it cost $2 million? If I had $2 million, could I buy the Portland basketball program?
Absolutely.
$2 million would
What's
do it?
What's the lowest amount
I'm Mr.
Here.
Pilot.
Yo, yeah.
I dye my hair purple. I'm Mr. Pilot now.
I'll set up the meeting.
I'll give you a hot take. $380,000, you're Mr.
That's
Pilot.
That's it? $380K is all it takes? Okay.
Come on.
Come on. Come on.
All right, what are we doing here? Why are we pretending it's $2 million? It's $3
million. It's an NIL budget over there.
What did they finish in the WCC last year?
What's that budget over there?
What was their finish?
We finish eighth, seventh, or eighth.
Okay. That's a deep conference, though.
Seven digits. You ain't getting it. It's a deep. No, buddy. We're doing the sixes. Hey,
I don't know if anybody's going to do it, but I appreciate the effort. He's like, why spend $7 billion on an NBA team when you can only spend $10 million on a college basketball program? Not a bad pitch. Will anybody do it? I don't know. Let's wrap it up on a Monday next 105.1 FM The Fam. A fun little note, walking around in the last commercial break, saw Luke Anderson out there of the happy hour. I asked him, hey, Luke, what color is my shirt? Gray. Okay.
Last commercial break?
Not this break. The break before.
Okay.
Luke said gray.
Yeah.
Lean over to Patrick Harris. Hey, Patrick Harris. P. Harris, the homie. Mm-hmm. What color is the shirt?
It's got a little bit of green in it.
Thank you. Ask lowercase. You know what he threw at me?
I'm high as hell.
Blue. He threw blue at me.
Look, we can disagree, but
what? Okay, that was not on the bingo. The questions were gray or green.
Swag is wearing blue.
No, yes, I'm wearing navy blue.
That's blue?
Yeah.
Okay. What color am I wearing?
You're white.
Blue? What drugs is lowercase on?
You're wearing the color of the conqueror. That's what colors you're wearing.
Oh, that's neither here nor there.
The color of my shirt coverage on The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity. Imagine that.
I think Patrick is biased, by the way.
You think he's biased?
Yeah.
I would also like to point out,
you're the closest one to his height.
Ooh, is this a short king thing?
I think you're the most receptive one at The Fan.
He's defending my argument.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He did tell me, and yes, I saw the text, so I'm aware of this. I did not realize that Mora is not Mexican. He's Chilean. He's just going back to
Felipe!
Play professionally in Mexico. I said going home because the news piece I saw this weekend on him was said that he's going back to play in Mexico, and I don't know why I threw home in there. He is Chilean. I'm aware. I apologize to the Chileans in the audience. He's going back to play in Mexico.
There you go.
Point of correction.
Felipe.
Do you know Binary Brewing and The Fan have teamed up for the Only Fan IPA available for a limited time? Taste The Fan with Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA. You go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location and ask them about their Only Fan. So good that only The Fan and Binary Brewing can pull it off. Phone goes to dynamite. Let's see here, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, people were chiming in on Cal Raleigh saying, yes, usually between 4 and 6 is where he's
that's where he's been
rotating in the lineup.
Mariner game, so.
Another one. The hard part about saying it was steroids last year is you can't even make contact this year. I don't know if juice that helps hand-eye coordination.
No, I'm not even going there.
I'm not either.
I think it's a weird. In any other era, I think my point was, in any other era, the steroid thing would be the conversation.
It'd be hanging over his head like a dead weight right
100%.
Now.
100%. I'm merely just asking. It's not just a fall off from 60.
It's shocking.
It's a 17 drop from 2 years ago. Right. It's a 24 drop from 2 years ago.
Hitting below 170, 70 games into the year is inexcusable for a big league player. That's just not. There's guys who are going to be better average guys. There's guys who are going to be a better power hitters. Like, that's fine. There's trade offs here or there. Hitting below 170 is like your luck. If your name wasn't Cal Raleigh, there is not a world that exists in which you would still be on the major league roster. If you did not do what you did last season,
I
get that's a part of his career. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You put any other player with that stat line next to him, you're in AAA right now, man. You're getting sent down. You don't survive in the big leagues at length hitting below .180. That just doesn't happen.
He is projected, and this is just projections. We don't know if he'll get injured or whatever.
Right.
He's projected to play 113 games based on his current trajectory. He is projected right now to have 154 strikeouts. And have 58 walks.
That's pretty bad, Bob.
With 15 home runs and 53 RBIs.
That is pretty bad. But at least if you're a Mariner fan, you're in the AOS, so your season is still alive. If you put a team with a pulse in that division and you're below 500 and he's having that year,
I mean, it's got, you know, wild run about way. They're very lucky that division is as bad as it is.
Yes, they are, Bob.
Otherwise, I think it'd be an even bigger story, but people have noted it around baseball. Obviously, in Seattle, they felt it a lot, and I thought there'd be some fall off because, like, how do you follow up a 60 homer season as a catcher? But
it's hard to do.
10 is nuts by the end of July.
Yep. A couple of final notes here as before I get to the poll question responses. Did you see Jim, our guy Tony Romo getting a
operating a vehicle while under the influence.
I learned over the weekend after seeing that report.
I think it's an ooey.
An ooey, thank you. I did see over the weekend one of the takeaways from that is people realizing how drunk the state of Wisconsin is because of the different classifications that they have for drinking and driving.
Yeah.
There's so many alcoholics in that state that they have to have different classifications. He was also playing in a golf tournament there. That's why he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I believe, finished the tournament 35 over par, which for him, Not very good. I think it was an amateur tournament. I can't remember what the stakes were for winning it in that. Some amateur tournament. And I guess the weather was terrible. It was blowing wind. And the winner was like 11 over par. He shot 35 over par and then got hit with an ooey on his way to the airport, I'm assuming.
Call an Uber.
Look,
at that
you
point.
you can make mistakes. I'm just curious, like, how CBS, do they do anything
Will there be
this?
Anything here? Yeah.
You know, people are making the Romo jokes of like Jim, and there's a picture of him and Tony. And say,
well, he's not the
Tony.
First announcer to have a Dewey.
No, I
so
know.
I don't know what
the
precedent
jokes are
is
flying.
There,
Tony, give me your keys to the game. Jim, I legally can't give you the keys right now.
I got to blow into a breathalyzer before I give you those keys to the game.
The jokes are popping off, but like I do, that's not a good look. That's the number one for CBS, right?
You
like
never
they signed him to a monster deal. Yeah. The narrative about him has shifted. Like people. He's very polarizing and mostly not very well loved. So, not great. I also, if I shot an 86.
Would you be doing happy drinks or sad drinks? You'd be doing happy drinks.
Happy.
You'd have to.
An 86?
You'd have to.
That's a great day.
That's a big time. That's a big time round for you right there.
Now, for you, you might be.
86, I'm fine. I'm fine with 86.
You're fine with 86?
At this point in my golf game, shooting an 86 is. I'll take it. Right down the middle, baby. It could get worse than that. It certainly could get better, but I'm not going to bitch and moan on my way at the golf course. If I go 42, 44, that's cool with me.
Yeah, you probably have shots you think about in your
Could have easily been an 81.
Exactly.
Also could have easily been a 92. Could go either way that way. We only like to go one way. You got to go both ways.
Yeah.
So that was in the news over the weekend, Tony Romo. There's also a video that went viral of him where he's at the tournament. I don't know if this was afterwards, but some kid was there asking him questions, and he's like doing like mock dropbacks with his golf shoes on and his golf clothes, and he looks like he's stumbling a little bit when he's doing that, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, should have seen red flag right there.
It's a pro-am, it was like, where you can drink while you play?
I guess so. I didn't really understand the full gist of it, but it was like, what a cool moment that he's taking time for this kid, and then because somebody posted that on social media, and then you realize, like 3 hours later, that's not good. Let's get to, did you know that your neighborhood restaurant group brings you the fan poll question on X every day and dinner tonight at one of their five locations, San Diego's Big Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Lower Horse Market Steakhouse. See what we got here today, boys. Are you in or out on your head coach getting a pedicure every 2 weeks? 56.8% of you say out. You're out on Florida this year.
That's not a massive split.
Does signing Jake Tonjes to be the 49ers backup tight end / Blazers power forward count as an offseason move?
Tonjay.
I'm just
do that to John.
82.6% of you say no, it does not count as an offseason move. Thank you. Did you know who John Tonjay was before the Blazers signed him?
What are the liars saying?
87.7. No, you did not.
So 13% of you are liars.
And when you have a kid-free weekend, what's the better thing to watch? The Odyssey in theaters or Gilmore Girls at home? You know, we're hanging tough. It's 75-25, but we're putting up a fight right now.
There's people out there. Don't want to leave.
About to win a national title at Notre Dame. Did some damage on the sticks, baby. That'll do it for us, folks. Thanks for being a part of our Monday. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. There is no Danny Meringue today. It is just Patrick Harris. And his firm of Harris & Harris is coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. You're listening to 105.1 FM The Fan.